Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. We departed a moment ago on the idea of how complicated this is, that the Korean people were not our enemy, that there were lots of things happening in the world at the time of the division in 1948, through no fault of the
45.
Koreans. I'm sorry, 45. The world was complex then. It's much more complex now. It would seem to me that the complexity does not bode well for anybody.
Well, you know, it's complex, but in some ways, the situation on the Korean Peninsula is very simple.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah, it's a divided country, divided, as you say, through no fault of their own. Germany was divided, but Germany had started the war.
Mm-hmm.
And the Koreans, as you correctly say, had simply been a Japanese colony since 1910.
But had been a true civilization unto themselves for, what, 1,300 years?
Right.
For a long time.
That's right. I think that one of the reasons why that Korea has been continually such a place of confrontation and conflict is simply what we've been talking about. It is a homogeneous and old civilization suddenly cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
And the people on either side of the lines feel this lack of wholeness rather desperately. They are brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles, and also at the same time, deadly enemies who've been killing each other and fighting each other and contesting and contending with each other for close to half a century.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as you describe that, it calls to mind another division that occurred after the war, which is Vietnam. And you've written and been in Vietnam, written a great deal about it. Isn't that part of the problem? Isn't the American experience in Vietnam part of what we're having to cope with now in dealing with Korea? Or is it?
In what way?
Well, I think initially in terms or at least partially in terms of the American withdrawal from Vietnam under, how to say, less than heroic circumstances, at a time when the Koreas were at least not shooting at each other, but were still effectively in a state of hostility. But when we were also presumed to be guaranteeing the South Koreans' security, and the consequent, how to say, lack of faith that that may have engendered in the South Koreans would seem to have complicated everything, at least to have diminished the American influence, for better or worse, but that we are still dealing with the secondary and tertiary consequences of that.
Certainly that was true, I think, for a decade. The South Koreans were very apprehensive and upset about the failure of the United States in Vietnam, and then followed President Carter's attempt to withdraw American troops from Korea following the Vietnam War, something which alarmed them even more greatly. As a result, the South Koreans began a nuclear weapons program of their own. Because they felt that their security was not guaranteed anymore, mm-hmm, by the United States. The U.S. put the kibosh on it. It basically squashed it, saying, if you go down that road, you're not going to have an alliance with the United States anymore. Then, of course, either then or a few years later, the North Koreans started a nuclear program in secret, which we had to deal with in the 1990s.
And that subject's not closed.
It's not closed, though at the moment the North Koreans have made an agreement with the United States and with the world community in which they have frozen at least what is known of their nuclear weapons program in return for being given another kind of nuclear energy program, which is not so susceptible for making weapons.
You were following a train of thought, but I think I do want to just parenthetically ask, isn't the fact that you can add the nuclear subject part of what raises this in everybody's consciousness, that this is not simply some people someplace far away who are having a family quarrel, that there really are profound implications for all of us, not the least of which is the destructive power that is available all over the planet now?
Absolutely. And the reason that we came close to going to war in 1994 over the Korean nuclear program is that the United States government believed that if North Korea, this regime, very repressive, centralized regime, had the capability to manufacture nuclear weapons, it would be a tragedy far, far beyond the Korean Peninsula, that they would probably sell plutonium or even possibly nuclear weapons themselves to Middle Eastern countries, to Libya, to Iran, to Syria, who knows what, and totally destabilize the international community. For that, the U.S. government was ready to go to war to prevent that from happening.
And fortunately, at least to this juncture, it's succeeded. That seems to have gone away. On the other hand, the economic condition in North Korea is so dire, at least by reports, that something has to happen. I mean, people are starving to death in large numbers. And over, this is not just a bad crop this year. This seems to be systemic. Typically crises force something to happen, particularly in a place where you've got the kind of unresolved conflict that we've had there for, you know, the better part of half a century. Are we going to dig ourselves out of that? I mean, I know you're not in the prophecy business, but at least you know something about what's going on over there, and the rest of us don't.
One of the reviewers of my book took me to task for not predicting the future of North Korea. Another reviewer said he wisely did not attempt to predict the future of North Korea. I'm not the prophet or the son of a prophet, as you say. But I think certain things are pretty predictable. First place, the situation in North Korea is highly fluid, dangerous, and unresolved. It's not just the economy. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not just the food problem, which is horrible, people starving, as you mentioned. It's the whole economy is coming apart. The food problem is a symptom of a bigger problem. There is no sense of how it's going to be resolved. The Chinese and the international community, humanitarian agencies, are providing, in effect, palliatives to try to feed people who have no other means of being fed. But that is not dealing with the basics of the problem. The North Korean regime has got to make some major changes, in my opinion, or they are not going to survive. Now, if they don't survive, what then? Who knows? There are a whole number of scenarios that have been given, ranging from a military coup to civil war to an attack on the South to the flight of millions of refugees to various other kinds of possibilities. And it's not just the United States. Their neighbors, China, Japan, Russia, are all very concerned about what will happen in North Korea. I think all we can say today is that unless they make some major changes, something is going to happen. And it's going to be a new international crisis of some kind.
And it will affect all of us.
And it'll affect everybody.
We forget. I forget. The geography that Russia is a proximate neighbor. We tend to think of Russia as essentially a European country, and we tend to approach it from west to east. Once you engage the former Soviet Union, Russia, in that area, then the consequences for all, you know, that whole landmass from Atlantic to Pacific, the other way around, can readily be engaged, can it?
Korea is a little peninsula. It's like a little thumb sticking down from the mainland of Asia. And its main neighbor, North Korea's main land and river neighbor, is China. But it is also borders on Russia. And Russia has had designs on Korea forever. The Russo-Japanese War was fought over Korea, essentially. And just to the east, across a narrow channel, is Japan. So I concluded, after my study, that Korea is a country of just the wrong size in just the wrong place, that it's not big enough to have the priority attention of its big neighbors. And yet it is big enough so that it's very consequential for everybody around it, and everybody around it wants to dominate it, wants it to play its game. And this has been true throughout Korean history. The one thing that cannot change in Korea is the geography.
You mentioned it as a thumb. As I was looking at a map, trying to remember just how all of these pieces fit together, it looked to me more like an appendix which could burst. Our guest is Don Oberdorfer. We're going to be back in a moment to talk more about the Asian connections, of which there are so many, and particularly Korea. Bill Russell is with me. This is the Paula Gordon Show, and we hope that you will stay with us. We'll be right back.